Last week, when we shared the word of the Lord in regards to tithing under grace, I started out by suggesting to you what has been purported in the body of Christ, and that is that 20% of God's people, those who profess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, 20% of God's people give 80% of the giving in the body of Christ. So if you break that down to the local church, then that ratio would be the same. In other words, 20% in each of the local churches, roughly, it is said that they give about 80% of the giving. So 80% of the people give little, less, or nothing at all. And I started out by saying that that is not a sad commentary on a lack of giving, but a lack of gratefulness, because we're discovering through the revelation of tithing what's connected with giving the tithe, starting with the tithe, is our gratitude to God for what He has done and for what He is presently doing now. And so if a person is not a tither, it's not that they have a testimony of a lack of giving, but a lack of gratefulness. And one of two things have happened. Either they do not have the revelation of the tithe, or they have lost the revelation of the tithe. All the way in the book of Genesis, the first book, we find Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel. The Bible says that Abel gave the firstlings of his flock. And it says, in the process of time, Cain gave an offering. There's a difference between giving the firstlings and giving an offering. And so when the process of time came about, meaning that Cain, like Abel, knew the process or the procedure of giving unto God. And in the process of time, Cain said, well, I'll just give God an offering. He lost his revelation. And because of that, the Bible says he murdered his brother because he was angry with God. Oftentimes people, when they lash out against someone else, whether it's a wife or husband, really is because they got something against God, but they're smart enough to know their arms is too short to box with God. And so they're boxed with someone else who they think that they can be aggressive with. Tonight we want to talk about, stand on that line and that thought, we want to talk about the trilogy of tithing benefits. Let me say that one more time. The trilogy of tithing or tithe benefits. We'll talk about that. But the reason why I brought that up in terms of the 20% of the people giving the 80% of the giving, because the Scotts, Elder Scott and Sister Regina, they were on vacation last week and he was not here, but I shared with you that Scott had formulated a ratio that we can determine how many tithers are in this church. And I pray that this would bring consolation and comfort to your hearts, that you'll understand that I don't teach the series on tithing because God's people are not given. Again, we would not have been able to accomplish the things that we have accomplished if we had a bunch of God robbers. And because people are grateful to God, they express their gratitude in their giving, and as a result of that, we see the miracles that we see around this place, and God is able to pour himself out in such a way that everyone around us will know it cannot be us, but it has to be God. Basically, what we have here, the percentage of tithers, the low percentage would be considered something like maybe 51%, and the high degree would be 69, 70%. I told you I believe that perhaps about half of us are tithing. And I don't look at the tithes. I don't look at that. I don't even want to know, because see, when I start teaching and preaching about tithing, I don't know who's a tither and who's not a tither, apart from the people that work here in the ministry, meaning the elders. I want to know. And all the elders and their families are tithers and people who work on staff. I need to know. Because it's one thing harboring a fugitive or a God robber in the church. It's a whole nother thing having one working for God. Can somebody look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be good tonight? And so we have something like 70% of the people who are tithers. Before we start, go ahead and give Jesus a praise, a praise, a praise. That's a good praise. Because that helps us to see, I don't want to be just the average Christian. And I don't want to pastor just an average. When I say an average church, the average church should be tithing. The average church. But if 20% of the people are given 80% of the giving, is because of God's people. They just have a lack of gratefulness, gratitude. Now let's start tonight from Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi chapter 3, and thank God for Elder Scott and Sister Faye for putting this together for me because I wanted to know. Incidentally, they don't have any names on here. They just have percentages. No names, just percentages. I like it like that so that when I preach, if I'm looking at you, you know, don't think, well, he's looking at me because I'm not a tither. And of course, the people that come on Wednesday night, most of the people that come on Wednesday night, they are the tithers. And you heard me say before, on Sunday mornings, you have your 5,000 that come out for the fish and the loaves. On Sunday night, you have your 70 that come back because they say, we got the power to cast out devils and demons. And on Wednesday night, you have your 12. And Jesus never built his kingdom up on a multitude, but he built it up on discipline, which is discipleship. And so what we have here tonight, and I don't say that to say maybe some people that are missing tonight that normally would come out, but who comes out on Wednesday nights are those who wants to get to the nitty gritty, those who want to get down to the mother lobe. And then if you have anything else going on throughout the week, you have your Peter, James, and John. Malachi chapter 3, and we want to start our reading with the 8th verse. We're talking about the trilogy of tithe benefits. There are benefits to tithing. And tonight I'll just give you the one aspect of the threefold aspect of the benefits of tithing. Starting with the 8th verse, it says, will a man rob God? And so we know that a man will rob God. He says, yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then very specifically, he tells us, and he starts with tithing and offerings. He doesn't start with offerings. He starts with tithing and offerings. You see, the people here in the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, these people were, in essence, they were still coming to the temple. They were still considering themselves to be worshiping God. And when God called them, as it were, on the carpet and said, you people have gone away from me. They said, how can you say that we have gone away from you? We still come to church. We are still here. Now, you'll find that in verse 6 and verse 7. He says, no, you have gone away from me. And they say, well, what are you talking about? He says, will a man rob God? And then he says, but you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. And then in verse 9, you are cursed with the curse. And incidentally, I want to say again, God does not curse us. If you're not flowing under the blessings of God, then you are automatically under a curse. And you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, and herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will do something, rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations or kindreds of people shall call you blessed. That's beautiful. We don't have to tell anybody we're blessed. They will say you are blessed of the Lord. For you shall be a delightsome land, delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Then he says in verse 13 and 14, for your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to tithe. That's what he's saying. It is vain to serve God because you see, your money represents your service. And so he says, you have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance and that we have walked mournfully or fearfully before the Lord of hosts? Now, thus far, what have we talked about? We started out by talking along the lines of the revelation of tithing. And I said, in regards to the revelation of tithing, that the tithe is to be the floor where we begin in our giving. The tithe is the place where we start, not the place where we stop. And that has always blessed me and has helped me to understand that the tithe, it is to be the floor of my giving, not the ceiling where I end, but the floor where I begin. Now, the principle or the spiritual law of giving, starting with the tithe. We just read where he says, you have robbed me where, God? In, not offerings, but he starts with in tithes, and then he says, and offerings. Now, the revelation of the tithe. The tithe, when we think about the tithe, you think about the first tenth of your income. The first tenth of your finances. The first tenth. Now, Israel, they were a gregarian society. In other words, they were farmers, so they would have to give the first tenth of their crops and so forth and so on. But it's the first tenth of what God has blessed or has given unto you. Now that is, listen, that is the natural side of the tithe. Meaning, when you think about the tithe, you think about something physically that you give to God. But the spiritual aspect of the tithe is the revelation. And the revelation of the tithe is not simply the 10 cents that we give out of a dollar. It's not the money that we give. The revelation of the tithe, it is, listen, an expression of a revelation of who God is to you and me. In the book of Genesis, the 14th chapter, we find Abraham, and the Bible says that Abraham is the father of the faithful whose footsteps we are to follow. That's Romans chapter 4, verse 12. We are to follow Abraham's footsteps. Abraham never paid tithes, not one time did he ever pay tithes. The Bible says that Abraham gave tithes of all that he had. When he came back from the slaughter of rescuing Lot, his nephew, the Bible says that Melchizedek, the high priest of Abraham's day and time, the high priest came out. Abraham recognized who he was, and the Bible says that Abraham gave tithes of all, and Melchizedek said, blessed be Abraham, whose God is the God of the Most High, or the Most High God, who is the possessor of heaven and of earth, who is the deliverer of all of his enemies. What am I trying to say? The spiritual side of the tithe, it's an expression of a revelation of who God is to us. We, when we give the tithe, we need to understand what we're saying in essence is he's the Most High God. No wonder the psalmist could also quote the 90, what we call the 91st Psalm, when he says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Abraham said he's the Most High God. So when we give, starting with the tithe, the revelation of that. The revelation is God is the Most High God. He is the what? Possessor, meaning he is the owner of heaven and of earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And just in case we didn't understand that, he says, and everything that dwells therein. God owns it all in this life and in the life to come. He is the possessor of heaven and of earth. Heaven is where his throne is and the earth is his footstool. God owns it all. Now I'm going to share that a little more in depth tonight, but it's a blessing when we give, starting with the tithe, that we know when we give that finances, what we are doing, we are expressing a revelation of who God is to us. He is the what? Most High God. Repeat after me. He's the Most High God. The possessor of heaven and of earth. The deliverer of all of my enemies. That's why he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Don't you worry about the devil. God says, I'll take care of the devil. Somebody shout hallelujah. When I give, starting with the tithe, it is an expression of a revelation. I got a revelation in my heart That's why I can do it with joy, because I know who he is. He's the Most High God, possessor of heaven and of earth, the deliverer of all of my enemies. Not only that, secondly, it becomes an expression of my gratification for what he has done and what he has given. Let me say it again. It's also an expression of my gratification when I give, starting with the tithe. Now, you don't start with the tithe, but you start with the tithe. And if you get a revelation of the tithe, you will have a revelation of giving. A lot of people are trying to get a revelation of giving, and you can't get the revelation of giving until you start with the revelation of the tithe. And it becomes an expression of my gratification for what God has done and what God has given, or what God is still giving us today. In other words, I'm expressing unto God gratification in my heart because, God, you own it all. And you have allowed me to have what you own. Nothing belongs to us. We have deeds on our homes. We have deeds on our cars. We simply say that we are the owner. No, we're not. I told you before. I know exactly how much Rockefeller left. He left it all. I know exactly how much Howard Hughes left. He left it all. I know exactly how much Solomon left. And Jesus said that Solomon was arrayed in such a way that no one could touch. You can't touch Solomon, but I can tell you exactly where the gold and the silver that Solomon had is still here in the earth. Because the Bible says the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And so the Lord uses that here on earth. When you give with the tithe, you are expressing your gratification for what God has done and what God gives. Now, something I want you to understand. When we talk about the trilogy of tithing benefits, we're talking about a threefold blessing. We're talking about three-dimensional. Three worlds are affected by my tithe and your tithe. Three things are happening simultaneously as a result of my giving, starting with the tithe. Tonight, I want to just talk to you about the first one. That is, number one, something good happens in heaven. Number two, something good happens in the earth. And number three, something good happens in us. Actually, you and I should be in the middle. We should be sandwiched between the two, because it doesn't happen unless you do something. And so something good happens in heaven. Something good happens in you and me, and something good happens in the earth. I want you to say, something good happens in heaven.
Something good happens in heaven.
Something good happens in me.
Something good happens in me.
And something good happens in the earth.
And something good happens in the earth.
Because of my tithe.
Number
one, what happens in heaven? Ooh, if we can get a hold of this. What happens in heaven? Number one, we bless. Listen, we bless the heart of God the Father. You literally bless God when you give, starting with the tithe. In other words, when I give, starting with the tithe, heaven rejoices. Heaven is glad because God is blessed. And this is some strange stuff. Somebody say already, I can hear you saying, this is some strange stuff. You stay with me and God will give you a revelation. And if you're not giving, it's because you just didn't know. When you do it, you are blessing the Heavenly Father. You are honoring God. Let me show you what I'm saying. Hold your finger there. We'll come back to Malachi. And go in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And look at the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3. We bless the heart of God, the Heavenly Father. When I give, starting with the tithe, Eddie, I'm telling you, I am blessing the heart of the Heavenly Father. I'm blessing God. Oh, that blesses me to know that I can bless the Lord. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. You see, God practiced what he preaches. God practiced this. He practices what he preaches. For example, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, the 22nd, 23rd, to 24th verse. All of us already know this. I'm going to show you how God practices what he preaches. Jesus said, have faith in God. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, if you got faith in God, for verily I say unto you, you can say unto your problem, O the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt, but believe that those things which you say of shall come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. That's in verse 23. Then in verse 24 it says, and therefore I say unto you. Now Jesus is practicing just what he says. Therefore I say. Therefore I say. See, Jesus practiced what he preaches. God practices what he believes and preaches. In other words, God blesses me, and the Bible says if I give, it's given back unto me. How many of us know that's in the Bible? A good measure pressed down, shaken together. So when God gives unto me, how many of us would agree that's a blessing from the Lord?
Amen.
When God gives unto me, God is what? Blessing me. But God gives unto me so that I can turn right back around and give unto God. It blesses God. If it blesses you, don't you know that God wants you to bless him?
Amen.
Just think about it. God gives us faith to please him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. How does faith come? From God. Faith come by hearing, hearing the word of God. So you can't have faith to please God unless God give you the faith to please him. What am I trying to say? It's a wonderful experience to bless someone. And how much greater is it to bless God Almighty?
Hallelujah.
I bless the Lord when I give, starting with the tithe. Listen to what it says here in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 and start with the fifth verse. Trust in the Lord. That's what faith is. In essence, faith is trusting in the Lord. How many of us would agree?
Amen.
So he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, go ahead and acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear or reverence the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Say, honor the Lord.
Honor the Lord.
Honor the Lord. In other words, another way of saying honor the Lord is respect the Lord. Go ahead and respect the Lord. Remember, Cain didn't respect God. He gave God an offering and he didn't give him the tithe. So he did not honor God, but he dishonored the Lord. It says, honor the Lord with something. Thank you, Jesus. He's telling me how I can honor God. He's telling me how I can bless the Lord. Honor the Lord. How? With thy substance. Now, hold your finger there. We'll come back there. I know we're getting back to Malachi. But look to the book of Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Honor the Lord with thy substance. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, if you found your place, say, hallelujah, I'm there.
Hallelujah.
I still hear the rustling of some pages, so those of you who are not there, say, glory, I'm on my way.
Glory, I'm on my way.
Okay, you're on your way. Hebrews chapter 11 and the first verse. Now, the point I want to make is where it says, honor the Lord. Another way of saying it is respect the Lord. Another way is bless the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the substance? Now faith is the substance. Now keep before you, faith is the substance. What is the substance? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now you still should have your finger there in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Now let us read verse 9 once again. See how this all comes together. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance of what? Faith. Honor the Lord with thy substance of faith. Honor the Lord with thy substance of faith. So when he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, somebody said, well, he's talking about your money. Now, before you give your money, God wants your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Honor the Lord with thy substance. When you start to bless the Lord, starting with the tithe, what you are saying is, God, I believe your report. I believe that you can do more with 9/10 than I can with 10/10. So by faith, I give you my first tenth. Somebody say, do I give it from the gross or from the net? Do I give it from the gross? You give it from the gross. Well, you say, well, how can I do that? By the time I get my check, Uncle Sam done already gave, he done already got his. No, he has it, friend. Not when you give it from your heart. I don't care what they take out. So far as you're concerned, you give God the first tenth. It's a matter of the heart. Trusting the Lord with all of our heart. What do you mean, trust in the Lord? That God can do more with 9/10 than you can with 10/10. So go ahead and give him the first tenth. Now, you got to do that by faith, because in essence, you say, my God, you just don't know, preacher. I need more than 10/10. God haven't given me enough. I need 11, 12, 13. Some of us would say, I need 15/10. And you're talking about to give God 1/10? What you got to do, you do it by faith. You honor the Lord with the substance of your faith. And then he goes on to tell us now, I'm not just interpreting this my own way. It's right here. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And now notice that. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with. Two with there. With substance and with what? The first fruits. There it is. With the first. The first fruits is the tithe. So you honor the Lord with thy substance, that is, with the substance of your faith. And when you give unto God your tithe, what you're doing, you are believing according to God's word. You are honoring God, not simply by what you give physically, but by what you're giving by faith. You're saying, by faith, I'm giving a tithe. Are you with me so far? So he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all. Ha ha. And with the first fruits of all, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now tell me if this doesn't match up with Malachi 3:10. So shall thy barns, or your storehouse, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So if I do not honor the Lord with my substance of faith and with the first fruits of all of my increase, no wonder my barns are not filled with plenty and they're not bursting out with new wine, because I have dishonored God. I'm operating under the... How many people do I have here tonight? I'm operating under the curse if I have dishonored God. So this ties together with Malachi chapter 3. Now turn back over, if you would. Malachi chapter 3. The trilogy of tithe benefits. The first benefit, something good is happening in heaven. What's happening in heaven? I'm blessing the heart of my heavenly Father. I'm blessing the heart of God. I'm blessing God. When I give, starting with the tithe, I'm blessing God. I'm blessing the Lord. How many of us really want to bless the Lord? Amen. So every time you give, just know that you are blessing the Lord. If you're doing it with faith and by faith, you're not dishonoring God, but you are honoring God. Now, this is how it all goes together. When I give, starting with the tithe, I bless the heart of the Heavenly Father. How, Pastor? By exercising faith in his word. God says right here, listen, verse 10, bring ye what?
All.
Bring ye all the what?
Tithes.
Bring ye all the tithes. Now, so listen, when I bring all the tithe, I am blessing the heart of God the Father, because I'm exercising faith in his word. So when you give, starting with the tithe, know that you are blessing the heart. God's heart is glad. Why? Because he looks down, he says, that child believes me. That child really do believe that I'll open up the windows of heaven. That person really do have faith in me. Now next week, this is really about a four-pronged message, meaning four messages are going to come out of the trilogy of the tithe benefits. I'm just giving you one tonight. But next week, if the Lord should say the same, I will show you, as it were, how that Abraham proved, the Bible says Abraham believed God. Many of us, we start off saying, I believe God. But when Abraham offered up Isaac, it proved. God says, now I know you really do believe me. See, a lot of people say, oh yes, I believe God. I believe God. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But when we obey the word of the Lord, when we exercise faith in what God says, we bless the heart of God the Father. So what I'm simply saying unto you is every time we give, starting with the tithe. Now you may be blessing God in other areas. You may be saying, well, you know, I'm faithful in this area and I'm faithful in that area. But I want you to know the mark of demarcation or the line of demarcation. It comes right down to your giving. God nails it right down. It's at the point of our giving. That's when we are really demonstrating and showing how much we really have faith in God. It's at that point that you are demonstrating that you really have faith in God. Oh, don't tell me that's not so, because God would not have required of Abraham to offer up Isaac. When Abraham offered up Isaac, the Bible said God stopped him. The angel of the Lord spoke unto him and says, now I knowest that you really do believe me. Why? Because his action proved out what he really said he believed. If we say that we believe God, then we bless the heart of God the Father by exercising faith in His Word. And when we do that, when you exercise faith in God's Word, you are proving God and God is proving you. Hallelujah. Ooh, my. Notice what He says here. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. God says, prove me now, meaning do it when? Right now. Now, God, I'm going to start about 2 months from now, and I got to pay off a lot of things. Got to get myself together. God said, no. Listen, prove me when. Now, don't get upset with me. This is Bible. And I've already told you, we got about 70% of you that's already tithing. There's the other 30% that need to really lock into what I'm saying. He says, prove me now. Now, there's a difference between proving something and testing something. When you test, God doesn't tell us to test Him. Notice He says, prove me now. We got a lot of people that's running around here shouting and preaching, singing. Oh, how I love Jesus. I told you before, I saw that bumper sticker. That it said, honk if you love my Jesus. I thought that was good. And whenever I would see the bumper sticker, I would honk. Bumper sticker, honk if you love my, honk, honk, honk. And then I saw another bumper sticker. It says, if you love my Jesus, let me see your tithe. Anybody can honk. We got a lot of spiritual honkies running around here honking when they ought to be tithing. Anybody can honk. I love Jesus. Honk, honk. No, if you love my Jesus, I like that one better. Let me see your tithe. We ought not be tooting. We ought to be tithing. And God is blessed when we do. It says, prove me. Now, when we test, and God doesn't tell us to test Him. When we test, what we're doing, a test, it's trying something. You are trying something. That's why I never try God. Never try God. You can't find a verse of scripture, not one, where it ever commands us, because God never really gives you any suggestions. Everything is a command. So you never find in the word of the Lord where God commands us to try Him. Never. It's always trust and obey. Those who are willing and obedient. It's never try God. And so He doesn't tell us to try Him right here. He says, prove me. Because when you try something, you're trying to find out what you don't know. That's why you are testing it. But to prove something, what you're doing, you're validating something. You are establishing and affirming something that you already know. God is saying, you already know what I'm going to do. Go ahead and put me on Front Street so I can show the world that I am your God. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is saying, What he is saying is, stop trying to tell people I'm your God. Put me on Front Street and see what I can do. God says, go ahead and prove me. Now listen, God can't be proved unless you do something. That's why he says, bring ye all the tithe. And prove me now, and herewith saith the Lord of hosts. And then he says, so that I can open up the windows of heaven. That tells me that if I don't do this, the windows of heaven are obviously closed. If they were already open, I wouldn't have to do it for him to open the windows. No wonder some of God's people are struggling in the area of giving, where it seems like nothing is really happening for them. That's one thing. Now hear what I'm saying. It's one thing for God to simply meet your need. That's a blessing. But God, he has something much more in store. My God, help us to get out of selfishness, to think that all that God wants to do is bless me. No, God wants me to be a blessing to those around me. He says that's why he needs to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out, pour you out, pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it. So why do I need a blessing that I can't receive? So that you can be a channel of blessing for someone else. And so when I give, now this is the trilogy now, of the tithe benefits. When I give, starting with the tithe, I'm blessing the heart of God the Father by exercising my faith in His Word. He says, bring ye all the tithes. I'm exercising my faith in His Word, and I'm proving God, and God is proving me that I really do believe God. He says, verse 10, bring ye all. Sister Holcomb, you gave me this about, Sunday morning. And if you give me something, I tell you, I know exactly how to use it. But Valerie gave me this, bring ye all. Now, I said, Valerie, that'll preach. You're talking about homiletic preaching. I said, Sister Holcomb, that will preach homiletically. She said, bring, that is the procedure. In other words, you see, when you go through something, there's a process. Let's say when you're processing in to the United States Army or you're processing out, there is a procedure. So the procedure is this, bring. Bring! Bring! God has said, bring! See, God wants us to present something unto Him. So He says, bring. That's the procedure. Ye, that's personal. Ooh, that's a good homiletic message. Bring, that's the procedure. Ye, He says, ye bring it. Don't just bring ye, ye bring it. Bring ye. No, ye bring it. Bring ye. Meaning God is not saying let the bring you. He says you go ahead and bring it. You bring your tithe. Bring ye. So the bring is the procedure. Valerie, you said that the ye is personal, but the all is the portion. He didn't say bring ye half of it. Bring ye some of it. He says, come on, when you bring, you better bring it all. Bring ye all. Do you know what all means? All means all. Bring ye all. Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't give all that they said they gave. They gave a portion of it, but they said they gave it all. I wonder how many people give a portion, but they say, I give it all. God says, no, when you bring it all. All the what? Tithe. Another thing, I believe that this verse is saying, when you bring it, that is, when ye bring it all. Meaning every member ought to bring a tithe unto God. Now you're talking about God showing out and showing off, and He's the only one that can. When God's people get a revelation of who God is, He's the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and of earth, the deliverer of all of their enemies and their foes. When all of God's people bring all of God's tithe, God will be such on a city and upon a place that the glory of God shall be revealed, and everybody around you will know where the glory of God is coming from. God is saying, when I can get all my people on one accord that can believe me, I mean every one of them that can believe me, God can move in such a way. You're talking about being under a covering of protection, a covering of blessing, a covering of the presence of the Lord, a covering of healing. I believe all of God's children will be healed.
Thank you.
All of God's children will be blessed.
Thank you.
They'll have absolutely lack of nothing nowhere. You can't find insufficiency anywhere. When all of God's people get a revelation of that thing, of bringing ye all the tithe, every one of them, a person, they may just say, all I have is a dollar. Bring ye all the tithe of that dollar. That's 10 cents. And watch God bless you. It's not in the amount that we give, but it's with the attitude of gratitude that we have about who He is. We bring it all. And watch God come upon you. Watch God bless you. Now, people sometimes get uptight about money, but I want you to know that the Bible says that Jesus was standing over the treasury when they were receiving the offerings, and somehow Jesus could count that money when they were dropping it in. And it said that the rich people, that they gave abundantly, but they gave of their surplus. And there was a little widow woman. All she gave was two mites. And you know, I used to be troubled with that when I first got saved. I said, two mites. It appears to me that Jesus would have gave the woman back the two mites, but He didn't give it back. Because why? She was blessing the heart of God Almighty. God stopped and said, listen, this woman is giving more than all of them gave. She blessed the heart of Jesus. He didn't give it back unto her. Not right then He didn't. That would have insulted that woman. Two little mites. Oh, honey, take your little two mites. We can't do nothing with your two mites. We can't do nothing with your two mites. God doesn't need your two mites. He doesn't need your two mites. He doesn't need the abundance that the rich people were given. God didn't need that. But God says you're blessing the heart of the Father with the two mites that she gave. Jesus was so blessed. He said, hey, listen, let me testify. Let me show you something. You see that woman right there? She gave more than all of them. Put together. Why? Because they gave out of their surplus. It didn't even hurt them what they were given. And it says they gave abundance. It didn't hurt them what they gave. But that little woman, He says, she gave her life. She gave all that she had. Oh, and perhaps when we get the glory, we'll hear about that woman and how that God multiplied it back to her 100-fold, because He believes what He speaks. And He says, if you give, it's given back unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now it says right here, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Doesn't all that sound great? And all the nations or kindreds of people shall say, you are blessed. And for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, verse 13 is, I want you to focus in with me on this. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we so spoken? Or what have we spoken so much against thee? Question. Then he said, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance? Why should I tithe? I need this tithe. I need this money. Why should I? He says, you're speaking against God now. We have just spoken against God. Now, let me say this for you and say this to you. When we give, starting with the tithe, we bless the heart of God the Father, because we're exercising faith in His word. We're proving God. God's proving us. We really do believe in Him. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
But now listen, when we give, starting with the tithe, one or two things should happen, if not both. There should be a confession from your mouth when you give your money, or a prayer that you make. Usually Elder Matthew, he leads us into a confession of faith and prayer. But there should be a confession of your mouth. See, when you give your money, release your faith. Why don't we pay attention? God is telling you, when you give your money, you release your faith and you speak something out of your mouth. You ought to confess what His word says. Now, God, we thank you. And in this church, we do that. We bless the heart of God the Father. We exercise faith. We're proving God. God, you proving us. And now we confess that the windows of heaven are open. I mean, there ought to be an expectancy. You ought to say out of your mouth, Jesus said, you'll have what you say. God is saying unto us that the people didn't believe it, so they weren't saying that. Not in this church. We're going to say it. We're going to confess it. I'm going to confess that I'm walking under the open window, heavenly blessing. And God, you are rebuking the devourer for my sake. Trouble may rise up, but it's only there so you can rebuke it and put it under my feet. I want you to see something here. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. Woo, hallelujah. The trilogy of the time benefits. Three-dimensional are being effective. Something good happens in heaven. Something good and wonderful and precious is happening in me. You'll discover that as we go on. Something good happens to you. And then something good happens in the earth or to the people around you. In the book of First Chronicles, the 29th chapter, if you're there, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me show you something. First Chronicles chapter 29, if you're not there, say hello, I'm on my way. All right. Sometime when we say First Chronicles, I think about First Corinthians. How many of us know that First Corinthians is in the?
Yes.
And First Chronicles is in the?
Oh, yes.
That helps us. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll start. Well, let us first of all just look at verse 10. Look at verse 10, 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we want to look at the 10th verse. Notice what it says. Wherefore David did what? Bless the Lord. Say it louder. Wherefore David blessed the Lord. One more time. Wherefore David blessed the Lord. One more time. Wherefore David blessed the Lord. He blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, now I'm going to show you by what he gave. And then David blessed the Lord by what he said. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Now let's back up and find out how he blessed the Lord and what he blessed the Lord with. And chapter 29, starting with the first verse. Now here we have the David gathering the congregation for Solomon, his son, is going to build the sanctuary or the temple of the Lord. And the first verse, it says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. Notice this, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Hallelujah. The place of worship is not for man, but for the Lord God. That makes a difference right there. I mean, if it's all right for me to live in a nice house, David said, what about the house of God? I mean, it's time for us to stop moving and playing around with this tent. Let's erect our house for God. And God said, David, that's a good thing that you had in your heart. And because you wanted to build me a house, I'm going to build you a sure house. He said, but you can't build it, David, because there's blood on your hands. But David, it was good that it was in your heart, and I'm going to raise up your son, Solomon, who is the son of peace, and I'm going to allow Solomon to bless the Lord. And David said, what about me? And God says, you go ahead and gather the congregation, and you get the money and the finances for it, but tell the people that the tabernacle or the sanctuary, it's not for man, but it is for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when people can come into the house of God and they can look around. Do you realize the way the house of God looks, it describes the heart of God's people? Anytime you hear somebody say, oh, we should have gave that to the poor. Mark it down. They're not giving the tithe. They're not giving to God. And they're certainly not giving to the poor. What it is they're stingy. They're crude and they're rude. And they don't want nobody to touch their money. When Judas said that, he was the only one that came up with that suggestion. And Jesus said, you're going to always have the poor with you. And we're going to always bless and take care of the poor. But how come you cannot be a blessing and bless the Lord? Some people say, well, you can only do one or the other. No, why not do both? If God is the one that's financing it, why not do both? You can tell the condition of a person's heart really by the house of God. Come into the house of God, and if it's all wore down, all torn down, they don't care about it at all. They don't care about what somebody else thinks. I mean, why would you fix up your house? You don't necessarily have to fix up your house. Listen, you don't necessarily have to fix up your house simply for you. But if you're going to have company over, it's a good thing to have them to sit at on a chair and a table. I mean, you may like to sit on the floor, but if you're going to have company, they may not like sitting on the floor. It may be all right for you to sit on the floor. But if they're going to have dinner over your house, they may like to sit at a table. Now, if you got a table in your house, how come we cannot think about God's house like that? When sinners come into the house of God and they got to sit on the floor, they're wondering, what God can't, how come we don't have no chairs? They got chairs in a movie theater. They got chairs in this place, chairs in that. How come the house of God looks like this? Now, God said that the palace was not for man, but let it be for the Lord. So much so that when the queen of Sheba, and she was not an Israelite, when she came to the house that Solomon built, the glory of the house, she said, Solomon, the half has not been told. It made an impact upon her. Somebody said, well, what about Jesus? Jesus was a walking neon, my friend. Don't you realize the robe that he had, they shot crap for it. It was so valuable, they said, we cannot destroy it. Let us not cut it into pieces. Let us shoot crap for it. And the one that wins, get it all. Jesus was a walking neon. You better believe it. He stepped into royalty. When he drove or when he came into Jerusalem, he came in on the best thing that was moving in that day and time. A colt and an ass, and nobody was on either one. He was the first. Glory to God. Jesus was such a humble man, but I want you to know, friend, listen, Jesus had 12 disciples, including himself, and they had families. Peter had a wife. They had families. And Jesus had to take care of all 12 of those disciples. So much so that Jesus said, Jesus said that when you go and preach the gospel, don't you take a strip, don't you take anything. Because he that preached the gospel, let him live by the gospel. Let's find out who really got faith. He said, no, you leave back your money. Peter and the apostles, Peter and them, they had a boat business, so much so that when they left their father, the Bible says that they left their father with their servants. You don't have servants unless you got some money. Jesus didn't have a house. Oh, yes, he did. On one occasion, a disciple of John came and said, where is it that you live? Jesus, come on, and I'll show you my house. What am I trying to say? I'm simply telling you that God is telling us that we can bless him with the right attitude and gratitude towards the things of God. David gathered all the congregation and God said, the palace is not for man, but for the Lord. Now listen, verse 2, say now.
Now.
Hallelujah. Bring ye all the tithe unto the storehouse and prove me when?
Now.
Now I have prepared with all my might. This is David speaking. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. That's the problem right there. The house of who?
My God.
Rebecca, you seeing this? The house of my God. This is my God. This is the house of my God. It's a personal thing, like Valerie said. Something personal has to happen on the inside of us. When I come into the Christian house of prayer, I say, yes, I thank God. This is my church. Not my church because I own the church. Oh, I'm not that stupid. It's not my church because I'm the owner of my church. It's not ownership, but it's unionship. And do you realize if you would say, this is my God, this is my church, you'll be surprised the attitude that you have towards something that belongs to you. Now, you may tear up somebody else's house, or your kids may go over to somebody else's house and tear up somebody else's house, but most of us, we won't let them tear up ours. I don't know why we other people let other people's kids tear up their house. Now, my kids come into your house, and they're grown now, but if my grandkids come into your house and tear up your house, that's your problem, because I teach them better than that. I teach them not to tear up my house. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, woo. If it's mine, I have a different attitude about it. If it's my wife, I'm going to treat her different than I'll treat your wife. Hello. I feel like Mr. Ed. Hello. And then in verse 2, he says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the goal. What did he prepare for the house of his God? The goal. For what reason? For things to be made of gold. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody shout with me. David says, if it calls for gold, don't substitute and put silver there. I'm going to give him gold for gold. If it's something that needs gold, don't you put copper on it. I'm going to give God my gold. Gold for things to be made with gold, and silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood. David had to have something in order to do this. Onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. For what? For the house of my God. Moreover, because I have set, that's it right there. If I just have more time. Because I have set my affections to the house of my God, I have of my own. Now listen, David says, I have of my own proper good. He says, not because I'm the king, I'm given this. David is saying, no, it's not because I am the king, not because I am the pastor. He says, of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Over. Somebody say over.
Over.
And above. Over is good enough, but David said, not for me. It's going to be over and above. I'm telling you, this man had a revelation of the tithe and beyond. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir. And 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house with all. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver. And for all manner of works to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? David said, that's what I'm going to do. Now I want to know what kind of people God has. This is what he's saying. Who will consecrate themselves for the service of the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers, hey, elders started standing up. Mothers started standing up. The chief people, the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God. What did they give? Gold, 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. Now, I need you to understand, we got some figures here. We got some numbers here. If it wasn't so important, why would God say 10,000, 18,000? God is looking at this, and God is saying, look at what they're giving. That's important to God. God wasn't blinking. God was counting. Somebody say, it's the book of Numbers here, isn't it? God was counting what they were giving. Ooh, my. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel, the Gershite. Then the people rejoice. Then the people rejoice. For that they offer willingly, because with perfect heart or mature heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David, the king, also rejoiced with great joy. He rejoiced. The people, everybody was excited. God loves an hilarious, prompt to do it giver. I told you before, you know, when offering time and when it's time to give unto God, thank God that we break out into a spontaneous hand clap, applause, and praising God. And I believe when sinners come in and when they see that God's children are so excited about giving unto God, I believe they will accidentally get saved. What kind of joy is this? I mean, the man said he's offering time and everybody is excited to give unto God. Well, first of all, because everybody is blessed of the Lord to bless the Lord with something to give. My God, I'm excited about that. Everybody gets excited at offering time. The people was rejoicing. The king was rejoicing. Why? Because it tells us the very next verse, wherefore David blessed the Lord. They were rejoicing because they blessed the heart of God the Father. All heaven was rejoicing as well as earth because the people had a heart to give, to bless God. Think about it. How do we feel, fathers and mothers, when your children have you in mind and when they give you? You know, most of the time they come in asking from you. Most of the time they want this, they want that. It blesses you when the child comes and give to you. And you know what? You don't give it back. Say, oh, no, you don't have to give that to me. You receive that. Bless the heart of the parent that the child wanted to bless the parent. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, now remember what I said, who is he? He's the Most High God. Listen to this. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Hey! Woo! Can you say that with me? Verse 11. Come on, say it together. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Oh, this man was blessing the Lord. Can you imagine how the Lord felt? Listen to my son. Listen to the children of Israel. They know exactly who I am. And then he says, verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. Hey. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Why, David? For who am I? And what is my people that we, this is it, should be able? God made them able. Who am I? And who is this people that we should be able? Do you see that? To offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of thee, and of thine have we given thee. For all things come of thee, and of thine own, and of thine own have we given thee. Now verse 15, for we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thine own. The man had a revelation of the tithe. And the trilogy of the tithe The trilogy of the tithe is the benefits that it brings. Something good happens in heaven. Something good happens in me. And something good happens in the earth. Let us stand to our feet. Close your Bible. Let's bless the Lord. Come on and praise Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. For